Good evening and welcome to episode 33 of What Should I Watch? I'm here with Mike and Mark. How are you doing, guys? Make your presence felt there. Yeah.
Hi, Steve.
How's it going?
Speaking of 33, did you know they started calling Amber Heard Amber Turd?
No, I didn't hear that.
Let's get straight into what's topical, folks. No. whose side are you on?
Things aren't looking good for the blonde bombshell, I have to say.
Well, which of her personalities do you think is in the right?
Hashtag I believe her. No, that one, the other one. Yeah. See, I wasn't there.
Yeah. I am struggling to care one way or the other.
Oh, don't care. I couldn't. Literally, the machine is yet to be invented that could measure my disinterest.
It did. My ears did perk up, though, when I heard that Johnny apparently misplaced $600 million and didn't notice it being gone.
Sure could happen to anyone.
Oh, really? You bombed out of your mind for 6 months. Could happen.
How much money do you have to not notice?
That is like a story.
$600 million.
Yeah, that is like a story the Kinahans will tell when they're on trial.
I don't know where I put it. Left in a taxi or something. Yeah. Oh yeah. Speaking of which, Katie Taylor. Fair play.
Fair play, Katie Taylor.
Best of all time. So, did we also win the Grand National this year? It was a female Irish, was it? Best at riding and fighting again.
That's what we do. If you could somehow work drinking into that, I think you've got the trifecta.
Yeah. Geez, we've got a lot to get through. We've got to get started.
lots of TV to talk this week, folks.
Oh, my God. Don't do what? Mike, man after my own heart, we crashed. You watched the finale.
Yeah, I stuck with it. I have to say, I did thoroughly enjoy it.
So this is a year where you've hated every finale you've watched.
And then we've two in a row. I love seven.
Two in a row. Last week, I was just thinking, yeah, you actually liked one, or 2 weeks ago.
What have you done with the real Mike?
So what was the last one? You liked Severance's finale?
Yes, very much so.
Which put me back watching it, actually. I'm back watching it now again. So I'm going to get there. But anyway, tell us about We Crashed.
I was humming and hawing about it a lot because it reminded me so much of the Anna Delvey.
Why, you so basic.
So basic. You know, it was very hard to follow that show. But it took on its own life. And I think Anne Hathaway and what's his name?
Jared Leto.
They just went from strength to strength in it.
Mike, let's say you hadn't listened to episode 30 of What Should I Watch?
Yeah. So the finale, it just exponentializes. Is that a word?
Yeah.
The craziness.
I was going to say, they went from slightly nuts to absolutely fucking bonkers.
But let's say I hadn't been involved or listened to episode 30 of our podcast and didn't know what We Crashed was about. How would I learn that?
You'd probably have to go back and listen to episode 30.
Tell us. Good advice, Michael. What's the premise?
Good advice.
So they start a company, basically shared workspace, and they borrow and leverage themselves to unfucking believable extent. And they tell lies all over town to get more people to lend them money. And it was like, I'm good for it, man. I'm good for it. Yeah, just trust the plan. It's like following QAnon, you know, it's like, we'll be all right in the end. But yeah, at the end, all the rooks come home to roost. Is that a proper expression? And it quickly becomes apparent that he has run out of road. He is just too crazy to survive in the Wall Street world.
That one vital mistake.
Go on.
That was their S1 document.
Yes.
Had they held that together, everything would have been fine.
But they were so fucking deluded.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't comprehend the fact that they were out of their depth.
Yeah.
So it was like, why wouldn't people love what we have to say? You know?
Yeah,
so,
they're way too much into their ideology and all the rest of it. In the real world, it's kind of gone out the window. But they viewed themselves as being the unicorn company. Now, granted, they made a lot of people a lot of money, which they don't mention too many times in this, which I think they should.
Yeah. Although most of them weren't the employees.
No, they weren't. No.
Yeah.
So it sounds like this had a good story. It seems you really appreciated the story. What about the execution?
It was lifted to another level by the actors. They were just brilliant, I thought, in it.
Very good.
Especially Anne Hathaway. She just does cray-cray so well.
Yeah.
Because one minute she looks like she's having a normal conversation, and then next thing, just something happens in her eyes, and she's not human anymore.
We all know that look.
Yeah.
For you guys, it's probably looking at me at times.
There's a switch in there that flips a lot.
Yeah.
But it's mad to see how well they played them when you see the actual characters. Because you go, nah, these people couldn't be this bananas, you know. Because I never followed that story back in the day. So
Mike did, Steve. Spoiler, Mike did.
But absolutely not. But they were brilliant. Brilliant at it. Yeah, so I would highly recommend it. It's up there at the moment. There's a contender there for season of the year, I suppose you could say.
You know? Docurama series of the year or just full-on best TV show?
It's up there. I wouldn't say it's the best yet.
Yeah, it'll be talked about later.
It'll be a contender. Yeah. You see, The Dropout is up there too, and that's very similar. And as much as we love to hate Anna, I mean, it's undeniable that's up there too because it was so talked about.
The Docurama category on its own is very well populated this year, which is unusual.
It is, yeah. It's full, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. So we would say watch that, wouldn't we? Ozark is back. I hear a lot of people talking about it. People have straight through it.
I'm hearing random strangers talk about it just on the streets.
Well, Ozark is great TV. It also features Anna Delvey, but she's got her early Justin Timberlake haircut.
I'm hearing people saying that this last season is the best ever. It's just improved.
It's really good TV, but you see, you know, when you no longer have to worry about next season, you've got options you didn't have in earlier seasons, right?
Yeah.
You can start bringing storylines to a close.
Yeah. And they're doing, everyone has to survive for next season.
So they're doing that and they're doing it in very satisfying ways, you know, and they're setting up a big finale really well. Also, their antagonist is one of the strengths of this season. Mm-hmm. Javi is his name. I'll find out who plays him in a second. But so Ozark is about a character played by Jason Bateman whose partner gets into bed laundering money for a drug cartel. And Bateman has to make a deal at gunpoint where he agrees to launder something like $300 million in the Ozarks in a couple of years or something so that the cartel will let them live. That's where the Ozark story started.
Just Johnny Depp and he wouldn't have
should have, yeah. That's where the Ozark story started, but that's not where it is now because they've become entwined in the politics of drug trafficking and have traveled, everybody in the family, so this mom and dad and the daughter and the son, have traveled quite the character arc, all of them. None of them are the same as where they started. And this final season now is kind of the culmination. They have a glimmer of hope of how they can get out, how they can get away from this nasty business. And they're trying to make that a reality. So the first half of the season happened earlier in the year. I know this is last year even, and this is the final bit of Ozark ever.
Sounds like a lot of echoes of Breaking Bad.
It's been compared with.
Yeah, it's fine to compare it. It is a show about people who are not criminals but get involved in crime and maybe develop a bit of a penchant for it. So that's 100% accurate. Mm-hmm. It's a different story. Yeah. The acting's really good, the writing's really good. So I think it's also comparable in that way. Mm-hmm. I think it moves a bit quicker than Breaking Bad. Like Breaking Bad brought slow burn to a whole new realm, right? This is a little bit of a faster sizzle than that.
Right.
And particularly this season, it's really, they've rested it up to 11. So I've seen one episode so far of the final half and I cannot wait to get finished talking to you guys and watch some more.
Very good.
Nice one.
The Batman, Mark, you got to it after Mike's rip-roaring review.
Yeah. I thought you'd actually forgotten about it.
No, I was just waiting for the right time. I was just waiting for a moment to weakness.
The signal in the sky, yeah.
I was waiting for a moment of weakness where you could suggest, hey, do you want to watch a movie later? Like, I don't know, we'll see what's, oh, look, the Batman is on HBO Max. Maybe we'll be good. Just turn that on. No, I had a willing participant, to be fair, I'm watching it. It's very long, guys.
It is very long.
So the Batman tells the story of, you know, the eponymous superhero or unsuperhero. The Batman, played by Robert Pattinson. Mm-hmm. Is that his name?
Yeah.
And it features Batman in his second year of crime fighting. So he's really just getting going. Mm. The city is new to him and he's new to this job and he's trying to figure out how he can make a difference. And it kicks off then with some fairly stylized murders happening in Gotham City and he's on the case. So I don't know, Steve, do you want to go first? Do you want to give us your hot take?
I've seen, I think, 3 Batmans. Right. This being my 4th. I wasn't impressed with this at all, I have to say.
No? Okay.
No, I found... now, look, there's several stories within the one story here. Some of them were better, or one of them was better than the other. But I did find a bit of a drag. And then at the end of it, I was like, wait, I won't get those hours back. Yeah, I didn't find it. I didn't come out of it just going, oh, yeah, that was great. Jeez, I'm glad I went in. No, I wasn't. Okay, could have watched something else instead. Yeah.
Well, I agree with you, Steve. I thought it was brilliant.
It had all the right ingredients, just didn't hit that high note for me. Yeah.
That's fine. It's a different but kind of Batman movie. So I described it kind of halfway through as you could have made this a cop detective show, except one of the cops is in a Batman suit. Because the majority of what we're doing here is trying to solve these murders. And he's using techniques that really cops and detectives use, right? But that's fine. I didn't mind that. Like, I've read detective comics and enjoyed them in the past, which seems to be where this, you know, pulls a lot of its inspiration. I did feel like it was too long, though. And I don't know, was that because I wasn't in the cinema? Maybe if I was in the cinema, I wouldn't have noticed with all the popcorn and stuff that was happening. but I was watching it, you know, on the couch, a little bit hungover, where time tends to take longer to travel anyway. So maybe that contributed to my lack of enjoyment of the duration. I did enjoy the movie. I thought there were some great performances in there. I don't think he's a bad Batman. I did not like Alfred, played by
Schmeagle. Yeah.
Didn't like him. He was a poor Alfred. No, he is being compared, in my mind, to Michael Caine, who I think is the greatest Alfred. So that was it. I liked it. I recommend it. I think people should watch it. Just be aware. Like, maybe break it up over 2 nights or something now that you can, now that it's on streaming. Still, it should watch for me, though.
The one thing I was given out about at the time was the bad guy.
Penguin.
Yeah, Riddler.
Colin Farrell. Oh, Riddler.
He was like fucking Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys, you know, as your evil genius. Did you have the same issue?
I thought he was good until he was revealed.
Okay.
And he went swiftly downhill for me at that point.
This Batman. Shut up.
That was one thing as well, as I thought the riddles were a little bit simple. Not all of them. There were some of them you went, oh, that's class. How'd they think of that? But a lot of them I was kind of guessing along and being mostly right, which isn't normally
big brain.
Which is normally not what happens to me when I watch these things, but anyway. It's interesting to see where they go, but I have one major problem with it. Mm-hmm. Right. There was a cameo at the very end which featured the voice of who I think might be the Joker. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't Joaquin Phoenix.
Nah.
And I think that is, if that's what they're doing,
yeah,
I think that is a real wasted opportunity.
Yeah, he's kind of sitting there just being all cool and stuff, waiting in the wings. It'd be an awful shame if they didn't make use of it.
Especially when they've now gone this route with this movie. Like, that movie is like, it's centimeters removed from reality. Yeah. You know, it's not like Christian Bale used to pull out. Well, okay, fair enough. They have a couple of things that are a little bit unrealistic, but by and large, It's not your Superman movie, like where he's blowing people up with his eyeballs. Like,
yeah.
So you could, if you wanted, put Joaquin Phoenix's Joker in this world and have another one of these type movies, maybe where he's being a detective again and Joaquin is being mental.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a great film.
Yeah. It's kind of an open goal. They have to take that shot.
Yeah, but they don't, it seems like they're not going to.
Do you know who played that cameo?
I didn't know. And I'm going off my ears now. I didn't look it up.
You know, the Irish young lad, Barry Keoghan.
Oh, from Eternals.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be a terrible Joker.
I don't know. He was good in Eternals.
Yeah. You got Joaquin in one hand and Barry Keoghan in the other.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. I still think, but it's. I'm only saying he's probably the Joker because he was laughing a lot. Mm. You know, and if you're in a Batman movie and a bad guy is laughing, you're going to go, well, that must be the Joker, right? But I have a huge question that I haven't had a chance to look up. Right, at one point, Batman injects himself with something. Right.
Yeah.
Which I believe is medicinal. At least that's what he told the cops.
Big dose of adrenaline or something, wasn't it? Yeah.
But it was very green and luminous, which made me wonder if it was the compound that Bane uses, Venom.
Oh, yes, maybe.
It's this super steroid that Bane uses, and he has it pumped directly into his spine. Yeah. So he pushes a button and he just gets bigger in front of your eyes. Mm. I was wondering, is that it? But I mean, I keep meaning to look it up and forgetting because, you know, life.
Kind of a risky long-term strategy for the Batman though, to get hooked on Bane steroids.
Exactly, yeah. But you would wonder though, that's why I was really interested, because if it was adrenaline, what would you need it to be luminous green for?
It's probably just kiwi and mango slushy. He's gone, it's his vegan power juice.
What do they call it? Matcha?
Yeah. Yeah, it would be an awful pity if they didn't use Mr. Phoenix again for Joker, because he was just so brilliant.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Although, how would you top that movie? You know?
You put Batman in.
I don't know. He was just so brilliant as is.
But imagine how great it would be to have a believable psycho as a supervillain in a superhero movie. Like, I think it'd be great. Like,
yeah, true. What else did you watch? Oh, you're on season 5 of Botox Realtors. Is that right?
you're just so jaded reading through the list of all the stuff I watched.
It's just selling sunset. Jesus Christ, are you hungover again?
So, folks, hang on to your seats, because Selling Sunset is back for another action-packed season. So everybody's favorite realtors are back selling seriously high-priced property in LA.
How many seasons a year have that? It only feels like they started like last year.
No, it's one a year. I'm fairly sure.
They've been on for 5 years.
I think they have, yeah.
Kidding me.
Wow.
Jeez. But were they on Netflix right away? I don't think they were. I think
maybe that's it.
I remember we watched through a few seasons together. Look, I could be wrong. If there's anyone, you know, on this podcast that isn't speaking, that has the internet, then maybe you could check.
Like, we have to actually look it up.
you have to care as well. It's going to be a struggle, I'm sure. But there's no Jamie on this podcast. So I suppose to recap anyway, right? They basically sell these ridiculously priced houses, right? But they do so like dressed up to the nines. Like, no amount of dressing up you or I have ever done for weddings or anything comes close to what they do every day just to go to work. And the clothes on some of them are quite ridiculous. So 2019, this started out, Steve. So I think you might be right. It's on season 4 now, not 5. Mm. So.
Oh, I thought there was 5 seasons, no? There is 5 seasons.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm wrong. The reunion is coming on Friday, actually. So
2019. So they had second season 2020, third season. Oh no, second season May 2020, third season August 2020.
Quick turnaround.
Yeah.
So they must have filmed a couple of seasons back to back then.
Yeah.
To get it out there. Okay, so I guess the setup for this season is that Christine had a baby in the last season, and she fell out with quite a number of the other realtors.
Drama.
Probably the only person still on her side was Davina. And they hired a new realtor.
Let me guess. They all hate her because she's gorgeous or something.
They didn't know, but she was briefly taken in by Christine until she then kind of realized, actually, this lady is crazy. So it kind of continues like that in this season because, like, Christine is the one that wears, like, Lady Gaga level of style clothes. So she could literally be wearing anything, right? And then so that she can try and, like, swell the ranks of the Axis of Evil, she meets up with this other girl. Her name is a city. I can't remember now. But
Chicago. Anyway,
no, we're not going to do that game.
Brooklyn.
She makes a new friend anyway and tries to bring her into the dealership, and basically all kinds of carnage ensues. It is kind of spiced up this season because Jason, one of the owners of the Oppenheim Group, has started a relationship with Chriselle, which you kind of saw at the end of last season. So that relationship develops in the series. So there's lots going on, guys. There's lots happening. And there's amazing houses.
Yeah. So it's a drama series with a backdrop of selling houses.
Basically, yeah. It's reality drama or whatever.
Reality TV works.
Yep. You need something else to distract from the story.
Yeah.
So in this case, it's these ridiculous houses.
And
they're all L ones. Is that right?
Yeah, some of them are in 23 and 24.
Yeah. No, they aren't. There's no way. Is there any of them in their 20s?
I would say there is, yeah.
I'm just checking here. Let me see. 33 seems to be the youngest.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Christine, 33. Yeah. Christine Quinn, Harley Quinn's sister. No way. There you go. Yeah.
I would say Maya is probably older than her, is she?
I'll have to leave that one to you.
Okay, fair enough. Look, I've watched the whole season. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's a should watch. If you like trashy reality TV, I don't think you can go wrong.
Okay.
It is so easy to watch. The episodes are relatively short. If you like houses at all, it's great. If you're interested in fashion, which I'm not, there's loads of it. If you're interested in going, what the fuck is she wearing? Which I am. Then there's that there too. You get to do a lot of that in this show.
Speaking of what the fuck is she wearing, I happened to be watching Bridgerton during the week. I'd never seen this before.
No, you spoiled. I got a whole thing ready for that.
Oh, go on, go for it. Sorry.
Can I do my...
Yeah, right. Do your bit. Okay. Do your bit.
Right. People at home, forget that Steve just mentioned Bridgerton and you know that's what I'm about to talk about. It. So, Steve, I started watching this show on Netflix this week. It's really popular, I hear, right? It's a prequel to Gossip Girl. It's set in Regency. It's set in Regency times. It's called Breege Girton.
I like it. Yeah. Breege Girton. Yeah. I like it.
It actually worked better that you told people Bridgerton as well. Because I was at home here talking about Breege Girton. Do you want to watch that later? And people look at me going, what is that? I said, we watched a full season, but how do you not know what it is? So probably better. You set it up. Anyway, go on. You've never watched it before. Did you start at the start?
No. Completely skipped season one because herself was watching season two and I was kind of keeping an eye on it over top of the laptop because I spotted a local lass that is in it. Miss Coughlin, who's also in Derry Girls, which we'll get to. Nicola Coughlin. And so suddenly I was going, this isn't bad, actually. And then I was kind of going, she's actually quite good. It's quite funny, you know, and kind of got drawn into it. But if then, you know, once I'd realized that, they're not trying to, be a docudrama here, you know, that they're not following exactly how things went and rules of engagement and society and that kind of thing, then it becomes quite fun. And that's what it is. That's how I describe it. It's fun. I wouldn't take it seriously. It's grand. You just stick it on there and, you know, entertain you for an hour.
I think you need to be in the right frame of mind. Mike, have you ever seen this?
I've seen the trailer for it.
See, that's where I was, and I would have avoided this like the plague. I would have no interest in it from what I saw in the trailer.
Yeah, like it's not hard to watch, right? Look at probably none of us are going to sit down on a streaming service that has the likes of Better Call Saul and other things on there and pick Bridgerton to watch, right? But if you're watching it along with somebody, it's very easy, very palatable to me anyway. So as Steve was mentioning, like, it doesn't try and be true to the time, right, at all, right? Yeah. It's a very, very diverse show,
it's very stylized. That's the way. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost in a Wes Anderson kind of way, you know.
they're quite close to being, well, they are over the top, right? They are over the top. It's almost like if in those days the wigs were like, you know, 8 inches tall, well, in this they're 24. You know, that kind of way.
Yeah. But John did the Regency.
And it's all about girls getting matched with fellas in those times, and the queen is involved. Mm-hmm. And so like she's like an actual character in this season, where she was very kind of a bit removed in season one. Mm-hmm. The big thing about season two was that the Duke isn't in it. The Duke was the person that all the women were swooning over in the first one, and he's not in this season, because they didn't know what they had at the time. So the story was going a different direction. Now the rumor is he's back in season three, but who knows? So there is a Lady Whistledown who is a pseudonym, right, of somebody who's able to get gossip on all of the characters in the show. And she puts it out in a printed leaflet, right? Which is why I made the joke about it being a prequel to Gossip Girl, because essentially that's what Gossip Girl did. And she gives away people's secrets and causes all kinds of scandal and keeps things all upended. So there's a whole plot start at the end of season one about trying to figure out who it is. Now, if you've seen season one, you know who she is. And now in this season, it's kind of switched from wondering who she is to wondering would she be found out in season two.
And that's in the backdrop of the whole chaperoning and trying to sell off your daughter.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, dowries are big. Big dowries business in dowries.
Oh, Jesus, telling you, yeah. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. I just love the politics that's involved in it. It's hilarious.
And the pageantry.
Yeah. It's just so far removed from
reality.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. And I probably won't volunteer to go and stick it on, but... or suggest it, but if it's on, I'll watch it.
No, I'll probably watch all of this. I would say I'll get to the end of the season. If you're looking for I would probably prefer Selling Sunset to this.
Wow.
And what's the other one? There's another Shondaland show.
Just there's watching. No accounting for a taste, is there?
But yeah, you were going to talk about Derry Girls because you've got a segue there because they share a character.
Nicola Coughlin is in this as well, and this is season three that started. I believe there's only one season on Netflix, and now it's on Sky. If you've never seen it, it's about a bunch of school kids, Derry girls in Derry. Is it four girls and a guy who's always referred to as a girl, which is always hilarious. They keep forgetting his name and everything, even though they're related. Or he has relations. But so this is Tommy Tiernan as well. I think all the episodes so far in season three. It was brilliant. There's a character in it that's a nun who's absolutely hilarious.
Sister Michael.
Oh, just brilliant. Just so brilliant. She's
very funny.
She's just so dry and just really doesn't give a shit. There's just the character's brilliant. It's kind of Father Ted humor, but not as comic book as Father Ted. That's kind of the way I'd describe it. I think it's great. It's just picked up where it's been or has been before, and it's just as funny. I think it's great. I think everyone should watch a few episodes of this.
I would agree. So. Nicola Coughlin plays Claire Devlin, and in the most recent episode that was on TV, she was left behind at a train station while they were all going on a day trip.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently they did that because she was filming that on a Monday and had to film Bridgerton on a Friday. their schedules were that close together, so she just couldn't, she couldn't be more involved in the episode than that. So the story I read at the weekend told me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, she's very busy. So Bridgerton is Shondaland. I was trying to think, what's that?
It is, yeah.
What's that period piece that Shondaland does? It's that one. Bridgerton. We better say something interesting soon. You're yawning like mad. We're going to lose you.
He hasn't seen Derry Girls. He needs to explain. Yeah. What's Power Book 4? What's that something about Max?
You remember Power? It was a TV show
A long time ago.
About a drug dealer who was trying to be legit with a nightclub and all.
Yes.
Was it that British dude starred in it?
Omari, no, he's not British. Omari Hardwick was the main star.
Oh, he's not British. Okay.
No, he's American and he thinks he's a rapper. I used to follow him on Instagram. Oh man, there were some dark days.
Confusing him with The Wire. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Omar. Okay. Or not Omar, the other dude. Yeah.
Anyway, so that Power story ended basically. It ended tragically. And one of the main characters, Tommy, who is also plays a character in Ozark, since we were talking about it. Kind of at the end of it, we see him heading off on his own. He's going to go and do his own thing. And this season, which is the fourth of the Power franchise. So there was Power, which is the one I just told you about with Omari Hardwick.
Yeah.
Then there was Power Book 2, which was about Omari Hardwick's kids and what happens to them. And then there was Power Book 3, which was a prequel, which went back in time to tell you the story of the person that taught Omari's character how to be a drug dealer. That character was actually in the original show as well, played by 50 Cent. And and then this is 4. This is what happened to Tommy. And Tommy is played by Joseph Sikora, who also plays the son of a mob boss in Ozark. So it starts literally where the Power series ends. At the end of Power, Tommy's getting into a car and heading away. And in this one, he's literally changing gears.
All right, okay, yeah.
pulling out of the same driveway that he left. So cool. It goes from there. So he's got a connect. I shouldn't use that term because it means something different in Power. There's a person looking for him to do some work over on the West Coast. This is all filmed on the East Coast. And they want him to go over to the West. I may have that backwards. Can't remember. But along the way, he stops off in a small town called Chicago and starts to run afoul of the mob there, basically. And that's where it goes. It's good. It's very like Power, but Tommy is the focus. And I got a little bit sick of Mary Hardwick in the other show by the end of it. I was all about Tommy. Like, okay. So Ghost was the character that Mary Hardwick played. Ghost and Tommy were like brothers. Basically, they grew up together. They got on top together. But Ghost was always that bit smarter. Mm. Tommy was much more of a thug, a henchman. And at some point in the show, he got sick of being in Ghost's shadow, tried to strike out on his own. And it was always really interesting story lines. Because like he would lose his temper randomly, kill people, all that fun stuff that you see in these like Joe Pesci style gangster movies.
Yeah. Call me a clown. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's I'm and I also think Joseph Sikora is an amazing actor because he had a lot of heavy lifting acting wise to do in that show. And I thought he was brilliant in it. You see him in Ozark, then you would barely recognize him, completely different character. But anyway. I'm really interested to see where Tommy goes in this show. It's a bit early to tell you what it's like, because if it's samey, then I'll probably switch off fairly soon. Mm. But if they give him some interesting storylines that you can't see coming, it could be very, very good.
Hmm. Sticking with it, though.
Sticking with it for a while, yeah. We'll give it pretty a few good. Episodes.
What else did we watch this week? The Man Who Fell to Earth.
I saw this on the list and went, oh, man.
Yeah, so this is based on
David Bowie shit. Is this?
Well, it's based on the novel of the same name and the '76 movie with Bowie in it. Yeah, so it's about an alien who crashes deep into the oil fields in New Mexico with a mission. He must find the brilliant scientist Justin Falls, which is played by Naomi Harris. She's the one woman on Earth that can save his species. So initially, it's all about him adapting and becoming more human so that he can communicate and complete his mission. So that's where it starts.
Well, it isn't, because it's also him giving a speech at some conference where he's unveiling some device.
So they do a flash forward and back. Yeah.
It was when it started, I was going, what the hell is this? Mm. And then it switches to the bit you just described and went, oh, very good.
He was quite the impressive orator.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, it was like he was giving one of those TED Talks, these super polished TED Talks.
Or he was one of those Christian super church people.
In my head, I was going, who would be a product manager? This is what you have to do. Like, you have to go out and tell people how amazing your stuff is. Mike, have a go at you. What did you think?
You exactly hit the spot that killed it for me. Because we see this polished speech, you know, making an impression on everybody. And then he comes back to acting like a spastic. And
I'm not sure if that's PC, Mike.
You know that nothing else is going to matter from here on out until he gets back to that podium.
He's from the planet Spastica, so it's okay.
So he's going to spend all his time doing his fucking Rain Man thing until he finally gets his shit together and he can function as a human being. And that's when the story's going to take off. So they basically wasted at least the first part of the series.
It's challenging though, Mike. It's not easy. It's not easy.
It's easy learning a language from scratch.
And a language and a culture and a way of interacting. You know, it's tough.
And like Neo just put a little probe in his temple and he knew Kung Fu. Like
So have you just watched the one, Mike?
Just the one. I did some reading ahead. I can't see myself doing any more than that.
Okay. Mark?
I'm really torn on this one. But I think it's interesting enough. I kind of disagree with Mike's basic problem with it, right? In that I think it's interesting to see how he goes from someone who struggles to speak or, you know, do anything really that passes him as a human, how he goes from there to supremely polished. And I think they did that. Obviously they did it deliberately, but I think the message was, you know, it's going to be okay. He's going to be talking perfect English soon, right? Just stick with it because it's not a lot of fun. Although at times it is very funny when he's trying to communicate. At times it is funny, but I could see that getting very grating after a while. But because I know he's going to learn things fast and he's already like really smart, I can kind of bear it, not better.
Let me just say in retort, they did the same thing that we crashed. They start at the end.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? That's the old trope, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But in Recrashed, it worked because you were kind of wondering how on earth did he get here? Mm-hmm. Whereas I didn't have that same feeling with this because
you saw him land.
Yeah. You knew. Oh, he landed in a rocket that was, he was encased in some kind of
fluid
sack.
So I don't know. I just think the first scene in We Crash generated a whole lot more interest in my mind than the first scene in this. Maybe it was because he was so vulnerable in the We Crashed.
Right.
When we first meet him. Whereas in this, it seems like he's a master of the universe and he's got everything under control. So at no point are you going to worry about him on his travels to get to this point.
True. What I thought was really interesting about that is that he was talking about who he was. Mm. You know, there was no secrecy there. You know, he was like, yeah, I'm an alien. You know.
Well, I suppose the government knew about it since the last movie. Like the end of the Bowie movie, the government gets Bowie. So it's not like it's a big secret that there's aliens on it.
That was 45 years ago. Things have changed and moved on.
Bill Nye would like to disagree.
That was brilliant.
Bill Nye randomly shows up.
He does. And in what a brilliant way. I actually went ahead and watched some of episode 2. And Bill Nye is classic. But his storyline is intriguing. It's a bit bananas, but it's intriguing. But there's also that whole thing they referenced 45 years ago.
Like, oh, did they? I didn't.
Oh, yeah. That. Yeah, yeah. A few times, yeah. Now, when I watch more of it, I was intrigued. I thought it was going to move along a bit faster than it was. I think I've some of the problems that Mike mentioned there are coming to light, really. Like, I'd sort of given it the benefit of the doubt. I thought, oh, maybe it'll pick up. And like you were saying, Mark, the pace will pick up, you know, as you can communicate a bit faster and you've got less of this, you know, I don't know, hand signals type communication. So I'm kind of torn whether to stick with it because the premise is great, but it's like, do I care if it's planet-based? Like, they're not there yet, you know?
I wonder if we're all struggling with the same thing. Because so what I've kind of decided is I will watch another episode when I get a chance, which sometimes means I don't.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's other stuff to watch.
Yeah.
Thing
there's
is
a lot of other stuff, yeah.
I've finished a lot of TV shows recently. So I may watch another episode. And if I do, I'll have a better idea then whether it's for me or not. I do feel a little bit invested in... What's the name of the girl character that he's here to meet?
Naomi Harris's character.
Yeah, I'm a bit invested in her storyline. She's quite sympathetic, you know, and I'm interested to see how that happens. I wonder about some of her motivation, but other than that, it's pretty good.
Yeah, unless she's got a very, very good reason for not doing what she was doing, or she just got annoyed at stuff and flipped out and just went, fuck this, and left. Well, then I'm out. I'm done. You know, that's just drama for drama's sake, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway. I'm not convinced I'll stick with it yet, but I still think it's worth a look.
It's definitely worth a look. Yeah, it's definitely worth a look because it's well put together. It's well acted. Like Chiwetel Ejiofor. I've just made a turban. Mess of his name. He's a great actor and he seems to be excellent in this. His comic timing is much better than I would have guessed.
Yeah, true, actually.
He's really funny in some places in this.
Okay. So are we agreeing to not be sure about this or Mike, are you just out?
I'd have to see some very fucking glowing reports from the end of the season to come back to it.
Tell you what, if we ever get around to watching more of it and it's good, we'll let you know.
Yeah. Right, okay. I don't think we'll convince
hold
you,
my
Mike.
Breath.
Yeah. What else do we watch? Anatomy of a Scandal, Mark.
Well, I think we might have missed the furor about this at this point, but...
Was there a furor about this?
I thought it was. First of all, everyone thought it was popular. This amazing thing. And then... Yeah. Everyone started giving out about it, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, I missed all that.
I was watching it while this was going on, basically. Mm. Anyway, let me tell you about what it is. So Anatomy of a Scandal is a story about a woman who's married to someone who's very high in the British government. He's basically next to the Prime Minister. He has an affair and it comes out in the media. And this is how they deal with the ensuing scandal, which gets worse before it gets better, right? So that's the show.
We have to mention it's Rupert Friend and Sienna Miller.
That's right.
Our husband and wife in this.
Playing the couple in this, yeah. There's a couple of other
high
notable,
profile.
Michelle Dockery is Kate Woodcroft. Well, we go into the problems first, maybe. So essentially what happens is the wife is at a party, right? And the husband gives her a call and said, can you come home? We need to talk. This is James and Sophie Whitehouse, right? So she lands home and he more or less says, there is a spot of bother. I've been having sex with somebody else for the last 6 months. Sorry about that. And she more or less responds with, right, whatever shall we do? And I'm going, oh my God, this is nonsense. Like, that's not how humans react to what's just happened. But it's a real stiff upper lip kind of thing, but it's not believable, right? So I had to use so much suspension of disbelief to get past the fact that she didn't just batter him or run out screaming or take the kids or kick him out or any of these normal reactions that anyone would have in this situation. So she's hurt and she gives out a little bit and she has to walk away and collect herself every so often. But really, she never gives out to him that much. She's a bit cross. That's about the height of it. Like,
you need to make a strong cup of tea.
Like, you know, if she's cooking, it won't be your favorite dinner.
It'd probably be a bunny. But she's saving it, I'd say. I got the feeling that she was saving it for something.
Well, that was one of the things that I wanted to see. I did say when I started watching this, I said, I want to see, I hope she shafts him good at the end of this, right? I'm not spoiled to say whether that happens or not, but there was a, anyway, there was a lot of giving out about that. There was a lot of giving out about some other things. There's the scandal gets worse before it gets better. It ends up in the courts. And there was a lot of talk about how all of that was portrayed. I felt like they did a good job by talking about, how would I say it? I'm not really spoiling that to hear. I'm just trying to let people discover this stuff on their own. Like, I think they did a good job of discussing the issues, of showing all of the different sides of the story. And I felt it did a good job of, for a while, of showing how two people can live through the same event and have completely different perspectives on what happened. Now, they dispensed with that after a little while, and then it became something slightly different. But I did feel like the performances were good. The writing was okay. I've already mentioned that Sophie Whitehouse doesn't. She acts more like a Stepford than she does a real person at times. But other than that, it's pretty good TV. Now, it's not amazing, but I would say watch it. I would ideally say, people, if you have a DeLorean, watch it like 3 weeks ago when everyone was talking about it, because that's when it was good crack. Now it's a bit less topical. So yeah, it's a should watch. Not a meme scandal.
Mike?
You know, I'd almost be more likely to watch Bridgerton than this. It's so not my cup of tea.
Well, Bridgerton is also good. This is what we do, Mike. We just bring you good show after good show.
Just bats them away. Actually, somebody sent me a link the other day to a movie called What Happened to Hitler's Brain, and I thought, oh, that's
a bit more up my street.
But this is, it's sort of a thinly disguised Boris Johnson, you know, at a thinly disguised Bullingdon Club and all the bonuses in life that go with that. And it's kind of been done to death, you know.
There's a bit of that, all right, yeah.
That was my main issue. I'm glad you mentioned it. Yeah.
So I just struggled to get any traction in terms of caring what happens one way or the other. Like, we know your man is a dick from the first scene. So like, nothing is going to surprise you in terms of what he's going to get up to. And then the others, like, as you said, the wife, Stepford, is a pretty good description. And even when she gets going, I don't think she ever really, really generates like the kind of hate that would make you shit on somebody's pillow.
Topical, Mike.
Or comedy.
So, no, definitely not for me. There was some nice location filming around London and stuff, and looked pretty.
Primary school in London and Oxford was the rest of it, I think.
Well, you brought the videography, which I thought was really good. Yeah. They do this excellent thing where somebody will be talking at the start, say, of a witness statement. And then they will zoom to portraying the events in real time. So they'll eventually have a flashback, essentially. And then they did this thing at the end of the flashback where they will look down camera and continue talking and appear back in the courtroom or somewhere else again.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And it was a really good blend of flashback to the present day. And they used it in a couple of different clever ways in each episode that I quite liked. They had a good hazy effect when people were drunk as well. I thought it was decent.
Many episodes did you watch,
just Mark? You drunk watching it?
Yeah, let me feel.
Many episodes you watched?
Me? I've seen it all.
I've seen it all? All right. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Very good. I thought it looked great. Thought cast was amazing. I thought the dialogue writing is good. Problem being, like Mike said, seen this a lot before. We've read about it a lot lately, recent years. And I didn't think I was going to stand. I don't need a season of it right now. So it's bad timing for me. So yeah, I was just like, nope.
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah, it's not it, it's me. But okay, I'm glad to hear there's a lot of giving out about it, and I missed wasting another few hours. Yeah.
So we're kind of mixed in. Most of us like it, but we're saying kind of a guarded recommendation.
Yeah.
Oh wait, that's not what we said at all, is it? So I liked it kind of with a lot of caveats, heavily caveated. You guys didn't like it at all.
Not much now, I have to say. But it wasn't its fault, is really what I'm trying to say. What else we see? Tokyo Vice. Tokyo Vice, based on a true story. Jake Adelstein, an American journalist, plugs into the Tokyo Vice police squad and descends into the neon underbelly of Tokyo. Well, actually, initially it's about is a foreigner actually getting a job in Japan with their number one newspaper, which was the first time ever. He scored really highly in the entrance exam, which is as strict as you can imagine. And they didn't actually realize he was a foreigner until they met him, based on his exam results, you know. So it's great. You see all sorts of interesting hurdles he had to get over with culturally, let's say, the fact that he's a foreigner, but also trying to find the right story, because he's always been given just write a story about, you know, I don't know, the cat was rescued from the tree, blah blah blah. You write the story that the cops tell you, there's no other story. And he's going, but he sees obviously there's loads of other stories. It's like no one gets murdered here, you know. That's one of the cops' assumptions. No one gets murdered. It's always an accident of some sort. You know, there's no murder inquiries because that would take ages. So, as one cop said to another, we close cases. We don't investigate. So, anyway, that's kind of where it's at. It's your man who starred in Baby Driver. You know that movie that you really hated, Mark?
Man, going back a bit there.
Ansel Elgort. His name, I think he was embroiled in a bit of an old Twitter scandal a few years ago, you know.
Sure, who hasn't? If you're anyone at this stage, you've been in a Twitter scandal.
I thought he might have been cancelled there for a while, but he's back. And co-starring Rachel Keller.
Japanese to do it.
Rachel Keller from Legion, I believe. Ken Watanabe, he's in everything. So that's where it starts. What do you think, Mike?
There's a lot I really like about this, but I have two big problems. Number one, the American lad. He just has a punchable face.
Doesn't he?
Wish he wasn't in it, or somebody different.
or if he'd a beard or something, or a hat. You know, just something. Yeah. Change the profile a bit.
For those of you listening at home, Steve is wearing a hat and has a beard.
I'm very punchable.
Only he looked a bit more like me. Either of them.
I was just struggling. I kept thinking, why is he in it? You know, the story could have been told without him. It felt kind of a bit artificial having him in it.
That's a true story.
I know, but it's not a great true story.
How do you mean? Read it in real life.
Do you mean if it was white guy, or you wanted a Japanese reporter?
Have like a regular Japanese reporter just telling the Yakuza story and the police story.
Oh, okay.
And about the whole cultural interaction thing,
racism thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just freaking.
I guess the backdrop is a struggle as a reporter to overcome the barriers that are in front of it, as we've seen in many movies before.
Yeah,
we're looking at you, Cool Runnings.
Yeah, I don't know. I just struggle to care about that aspect, which is a bit of a problem when it's your main character. But I did love the whole Japan thing. The cops, the gangsters, the cityscapes, everything about it. I thought I've never been to Japan. I don't know how like it was, but nothing rang false, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I didn't get my spidey sense going, these guys are bullshitting me.
You know, if it had been raining, it would have been Blade Runner.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. The Neuromancer was set in Tokyo, wasn't it?
Oh, it might have been, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But the other thing that possibly fatally damaged it for me was just a few weeks ago, I was reading an article on the death of the Yakuza.
So
basically, they're all old now. None of them done anything for years because they basically got squashed by the cops.
Wow. So,
nothing happens in Japan anymore. The story.
Of course it doesn't.
all the action now is in China. So these the guys who were dangerous back when this is filmed, whatever, late 90s, are now like portly gentlemen playing snooker and just checking up their bank balance at the end of the week.
The greatest trick the devil ever played was make you think you didn't exist. Yeah.
See them all hanging out at Bada Bing, you know.
but that aside, there is a lot to like about the show. I certainly wouldn't not watch it because of those problems.
I went ahead.
Okay.
On to second episode. And? It's a bit more. I think it's, I don't know. It might be him getting under my skin. I'm not sure, but there's something. Nice. But I'm very much aware that it hasn't started yet, you know, because there's a few things that happen in it are brilliant. Like you'll if you stick with it, you'll laugh your ass off. They're not intentionally meant to be laugh out loud funny, but they're hilarious. Mm-hmm. But I have a feeling that this will get a lot better. I'd say, you know, from mid-season on, it's going to be awesome. If we can get over your man, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of reminds me of, do you remember, what's his name? Matrix boy.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, yeah. Remember when he was in Bill and Ted's? He was always that kind of awkward kind of a, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That, isn't it? Isn't it that? It's that kind of, not lanky, but just kind of a bit of a, you know, kind of a look about or action about him, you know. So, but
his mammy dropped him when he was a baby. Yeah.
Now, look, I thought he was cool as in Baby Driver. Now, in fairness, but so it might be just the roles. But I'm probably going to stick with this and put myself through another one just to see, you know, because it's like you say, it's got potential.
Yeah,
could be very strong.
Yeah, so maybe I'll let you take one for the team there. And
yeah, I'll report back. Yeah. What was the last thing I wanted to ask you about, Mark? Better Call Saul.
Oh, it's back. Final season. The season that brings us up parallel with Breaking Bad.
Oh, is it the final one? Did not know that.
It's the final one, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And it's a great season. So last season was really, really good. It was the best to date. This one has started a great clip.
Have they kept the humor?
Yeah, there's still comedy in there. Like,
yeah,
he does a lot of, he actually, in the most recent episode that dropped today on Netflix, he has a really funny physical humor scene that lasts for like about 5 minutes. It's very good. I really enjoyed it. But no, it's great because you find out so for those people that don't know what Better Call Saul is, Saul Goodman was the lawyer in Breaking Bad. Right, he was Walter White's lawyer, and so in this, Gus Fring is kind of starting to ascend the position he holds in Breaking Bad, and it started out with Jimmy McGill becoming Saul Goodman, which he did at the end of last season. So he's Saul Goodman now, and he's trying to peddle that identity, basically. So Mike is a big character in this, which I really like. He was always very cool when he was in Breaking Bad. Mike Ehrmantraut. And he's good in this too. And I really like when they delve into the drug side of things and the actual mechanics of drug war and managing a cartel and all the headaches that might bring. I really enjoy that. And there was a really, really poignant scene in episode 3, which paid off about 3 seasons worth of investment. So that was brilliant. That was a really strong episode. It left me thinking, I tell you. Left me thinking. And then this episode, but the problem was it's really hard to follow a great act, right? So episode 4 now wasn't quite as strong. And they're more focused on getting back at Howard Hamlin, I think is his name, who was a really successful lawyer that has done badly by Jimmy and his family. So they're kind of doing that now. And it seems a little bit irrelevant, but I think I can guess what the payoff is going to be, which is never a good thing. I could be wrong. It could surprise me. I'll let you know. So look, it's still the great Breaking Bad style writing that we've had. It seems like they have more to do this season because they've a lot of catching up to do to get everybody where they need to be at the end. So hopefully it'll not be final season Game of Thrones style.
Yeah.
But it's good. I recommend it. Go back to the first one and watch it. If you haven't seen Breaking Bad, go back to the first one of those and watch that.
That's about 85 hours of watching.
Yeah, I know, right?
worth every penny, I tell you, yeah. Worth every penny.
So, Mark, what are you excited about next week?
Next week, oh, guys, wait till I tell you. So, you remember in Discovery? remember in Star Trek Discovery, it starts out and there's a Captain Pike, right? And then all the geeks around the world went, Pike? Isn't he the first captain of the Enterprise? Wasn't he in an unaired episode of Star Trek, the original series, and recast for William Shatner? Isn't he the person that gets paralyzed in the new Star Trek movies? Yes, he is all of those things. And now he is, I guess, the lead actor in Star Trek, A Strange New World, which is a new TV show from Paramount. And that's kicking off on Friday, and I cannot wait to watch it.
He's like a child, isn't he?
I know, right?
Well, it's not just because of all that history. He was a really good character in Discovery. Like, Discovery's completely lost its way now. It is a perfect example of what can go wrong if you pay too much attention to woke culture. That was an amazing TV show that really modernized Star Trek. But the problem was they overdid it. They over-modernized it. There was a point where they should have stopped. Like, so what I think they should... Right, here's my problem with Star Trek Discovery. Right, my two-minute problem, right? Or a two-minute synopsis of my problems is it's fine to have all the LGBTQ folks in the world in any TV show that you want, but the show shouldn't be about that unless it's a show about that.
Got your point. Yeah.
You know, that there's just enough to get you cancelled.
Yeah. Just tweet that out there just so we have a record.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is, right? And if it is, it is. But like, I watched all of And Just Like That, which was the sequel to Sex and the City, which featured a lot of LGBTQ issues. And they put those front center and I said, right, this is about that. And I said, well, that's fine. Now I'm watching it. But Star Trek Discovery wasn't about that. It was about a lot of cool things set in the Star Trek universe. And now it isn't. So I feel a little bit betrayed. I feel like they pulled the rug out from under what I was enjoying in that show. And now it's really difficult to watch.
Hmm. Do you want some even better news?
Yeah.
It's not out on Friday.
When's it out?
Thursday. Cancel all plans.
Best day.
Hello, Diane. Clear my calendar. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so that's all we have for this week. It was a bit of a bumper edition. Anyway, if you're still with us, we'll talk to you next week. So from Mike, Mark and Steve,
ramble on.
Stay classy.
That was good. Hold on.